Ray and Rob and Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is 4 a.m., and that means it's time once again for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends talk about movies from the past and see how they hold up. Today, we have a special episode. We'll be going over an email that we've received and announcing the winner of our Fat Chat mascot. Mm-hmm. So I am your host, as always, Tony. Joined with me is...
Brian.
Joe.
Rob.
And let's just dive into the email, shall we?
We have actual fans like that have corresponded with us, actual written proof in front of us.
They love us. They really
one person
loves us.
Actually, thank you. Can we just discuss really quickly what a divisive episode Hook was? Mm.
I had a feeling it would be.
Mm. We got some love, as we'll see in the email, and we got some hate too. Like
that's one I knew going into it. I wasn't because I didn't think we had followers, so I didn't know if anyone had actually heard. But I knew Hook is a very divisive movie. People tend to either really love it or really hate it. So I'm not surprised.
I don't think any of us were in either camp, though.
It is funny. We were all kind of just like,
but it's still that thing, you know, if you're like, oh, Coke sucks sometimes, the Pepsi people are going to be like, yeah, take down Coke. And the Coke people are going to be like, fuck you, you suck. So it doesn't really matter if we really were like anti-Coke.
You're talking about DC fans.
That's a great example. Let's take down Rotten Tomatoes because they're rating our movies poorly. Maybe that's because they suck.
Being honest about our...
Did you think maybe it wasn't like something personal against them since Warner Brothers owns Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Really?
Not all of it, just 30% of it.
Yeah, it seems to be all they're getting, too.
That's why all their movies only get 30% as well.
I think one of the comments I saw was something to the effect of, like, I hate you for making fun of Hook. All of you are stupid or something like that.
That was a comment we received. Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, though, like, our first actual email, I honestly thought would just be something like, hi, guys, you are all filth. That'd be it.
It was, but it was from me, and I deleted it.
Okay. So. Those come to us directly, by the way.
we get those at work.
Yeah, I'm used to hearing that in person just out of nowhere, but...
No, but this guy wrote, like, a whole, like, novella about the episode.
The email.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, why don't we just get into this?
Sure, yeah.
All right, this is from our fan, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining.
This is Rich. Great podcast. You guys keep me sane during the work week. Your sense of humor is spot on with my own. I'm always laughing. I'm always trying to find a reason in fictional theory. After you guys started questioning the Neverland universe, my nerdy obsessiveness took over. I'll try to keep this short because the theories on Neverland are vast. Spoiler alert, he failed at keeping this short.
Yeah, is this the short version? No.
Not making fun of you, Rich.
It could have been longer.
I'm
wondering, where's the manifesto that he wrote on this whole thing?
Right. TLDR, you grow up if you think about growing up. Killing is admitting that life ends or can end, which is also admitting mortality. Transitively, this admits ultimately to the ability to grow up. The tree fire is actual canon. Some of the original Lost Boys missing is also canon. Believe it or not, Peter becoming Hook after killing Hook is also canon. What? Details below if interested. 1. The inception of Neverland came from J.M. Barrie's author of Peter Pan, older brother dying very young. J.M. would comfort his mother by wearing his deceased brother's clothes and adopting his mannerisms as an act.
Ooh,
J.M. was a weirdo. That's my own comment. Barry's mother found comfort in the fact that her dead son would remain a boy forever, never to grow up and leave her. They would tell stories about it together. This helped shape his idea of Neverland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that much about that. All right.
Do the research.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich no, got, good
Rich
for
got
him.
In it. Rich got in it.
Number 2. The rules of Neverland are intentionally vague. Lost Boys have been defined as both children who have died young and went to Neverland or children who have lost or abandoned their parents and found their way somehow.
Because they died. Mm-hmm. That's just me putting that.
Yeah. Neverland can be different for every child, imagination, and every child can find Neverland in a different way. It's usually done by flying towards the sky at around sunrise, toward the stars slash nothingness.
Tried that, didn't work.
It has been found through other magical means, finding a fairy in a bush, a magical rose, etc. When I find a fairy in a bush, that's totally different. As long as you deny anything other than being a child.
Fairies, you got to really reevaluate.
Yeah. Anything other than being a child, you'll never grow up in Neverland.
Taking the bus route, I've usually stumbled across a bush full of a drunken fairy that passed out. Well, just saying.
Number three. Finally, your theory regarding Peter Hook growing up, killing, and death in Neverland. You guys weren't far off with your guesses at all. Anything having to do with growing older or death in Neverland seems to simply be a product of looking ahead towards the future. The feelings are displaying that you want to move on with life triggers aging, thinking about growing up, ergo death. All things lead to all of which lead to adulthood, which leads to an inevitable end. The third link I posted, there were links.
There were links, yeah, they were.
This guy cited his sources.
Gotta make sure, you know.
Peter Pan in Scarlet is an official canon sequel to Peter Pan where a lot of your questions are answered. Most of the original Lost Boys go back to the real world and grow up.
I'm sorry, hold on. Peter Pan in Scarlet, it sounds like a slash fic.
Michael dies in World War I. The main plot in the sequel is that Pan killed Hook via the crocodile, just like in the movie, except timelines are twisted. Somehow, Hook survived and is sneaking around Neverland as a carnival leader named Ravello. Peter, having nothing else to do, sets out to find more adventure via Hook's pirate ship. He finds a map and wants to look for treasure. So yeah, so he becomes like a pirate there.
It sounds like an 80s movie plot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hook as Ravello somehow tricks Peter into wearing his entire pirate outfit to play the part of the treasure-seeking adventurer. The magic in Hook's pirate clothing turns Peter evil, almost to the point of admitting to the real Hook what he wants to do when he grows up, which would make him age and lose all of his powers. Man, I never knew what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I couldn't do shit. I never got any powers.
I wanted to be a paleontologist, and
now you have Dinobots.
Now I work at a grocery store.
This got real sad real fast. Other stuff
Let's
happens.
Let's not discuss our broken dreams right now, shall we?
Look into my dead eyes like a doll's eyes.
Sometimes death is better.
So, other stuff happened. Peter almost dies. Hook almost dies again. The Lost Boys and fairies and Wendy save Peter. Wendy feels bad and saves Hook by giving him a goodnight kiss, and everyone goes home. What is a goodnight kiss?
Yeah, what?
It's like a happy ending.
I guess if she saved him, because I was just thinking, like, isn't that one of Sonya's moves in Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Like the long kiss goodnight.
Mm. That's a pretty solid movie. Thus, your theories on death killing people, making you older, Peter killing Hook, making him the next Hook, etc. are actually pretty on point. Pirates kill. They're all adults. Only children who have grown up are actually aged and can see the world for what it really is, understanding the concept of mortality, the ability to kill, are the ones that do kill. Grown-up Peter, Rufio, who actually seems older than the rest of the boys, Hook, pirates. Also, this book covers the Lost Boys hideout fire, which would make sense for the old tree we know via the Disney movie. It also covers other certain Lost Boys no longer being in the film via vanished Lost Boys, whom of which are sent to Nowhere Land. Anyways, keep on keeping on. Love the podcast. If you guys keep doing more episodes, I'll keep listening. Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Wow.
Yeah. Yay!
Rich.
So
really glad to hear from you, man.
Yeah, that's...
Boom, 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 yay!
All right, well...
Richard just wants to know
his corner.
I think you said too many words for Brian to know.
No, but I mean, that's...
No!
That's
no! Boom, 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 hey!
Somebody get his ball. No, but, like, that's pretty much exactly how I saw Neverland. It's all... And I think I mentioned this during the episode. It's like, the rules of the universe... just go by, like, a kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, whatever... Like, basically, whatever you say goes. Like, the power of whatever comes out of your, like, thought process, that just becomes reality.
Like Cartman and the boys playing in South Park when they're giving each other powers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly like that, yeah. And so, like, I think it's, like, the more I thought about it, and, like, I read this, and I started thinking about it, it's, like, it's kind of good that Rufio dies in the movie... Because it seemed to me like he was killing people. He was aging. Like, he kind of knew he was going to he was going to grow old and die and turn possibly even into a pirate.
Which is odd, because in real life, he's the only one that doesn't look like he's aged at all.
Dude, he looks so young. He looks so young. Dante Bosco?
Yeah.
Dude. Fountain of Youth, that guy.
Mm. Damn right.
They should remake Hook and use all the Lost Boys as pirates. That'd be funny.
As pirate, that would be so depressing, though, to watch that. Be watch.
Apparently, Neverland is just really depressing, though.
Yeah, I mean, but Chudbutt as a pirate, I couldn't.
I mean, he ain't all that fat anymore in the pictures.
No, I saw
he
that.
Could be Smee.
I still couldn't emotionally handle that, though. Like, I just picture his chubby little smile when he took the sword from Peter Pan. I'd be like, I can't see you as a pirate. It hurts.
What do you think he was going to do with that sword, though?
Cut food with it?
It was a gold... First of all, it was a gold sword. It wasn't good for cutting anything. All right?
Cut cheese with it. Big old cheese pot.
He'd be sitting there cutting his Chudbutt cheese. Just eating slices of that. Like...
Well, I just want you to know, Rick, I put an A+ on your report.
Or Rich.
And...
Wait.
I'm sorry. Did I say Rick?
All right, well...
Sorry, you got three out of the four letters.
I can't read it right.
We put a C on Tony's spelling, but that's okay.
I will give you a sticker that says grape job as soon as I can.
All right, Rich, yours is going on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Tony's spelling needs to be taken home and signed by his mom.
Who also listens to the podcast?
Hi, Tony's mom.
Couldn't be bothered to write in. Thanks, Tony's mom.
So, I gotta say though, like,
be careful what you wish for, Rob. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
like I said in the Hook episode, like I really, as a kid, I really didn't pay much mind to this movie. I was like, meh.
Because it comes across as like a sequel almost.
Yeah,
and you kind of disregard it as such.
But there's so much depth to it that I never even realized till we started talking about it.
Honestly, like before we did the podcast, I didn't either. Like I saw some things here and there when I watched it, because I've watched this movie a lot of times. Like we used to own it. I think we talked about it already, and it got a lot of rotation. But yep, there you go. But yeah, it was one of those things that I never really went deeper into, because you know it does have a lot of just kid power fluff on the surface that you kind of disregard a lot of it, but. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's really deep, especially the relationship between Hook and Pan, and Hook, you know, feeling insignificant, feeling kind of cast out, like he's got to make this big grand move to keep himself relevant. Like, I got to capture Peter Pan's kids, even though Peter Pan hasn't been here for however many years.
He missed his boom, I'm telling you.
He did.
Yeah, I kind of got distracted by this because I like this dynamic better, but it's almost that of Joker and Batman, where it's he wants to kill him, but he kind of doesn't because he knows once he does, he can't try and kill him anymore.
I don't even think he wants to kill him.
I think he wanted Peter Pan to kill him.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, there's like, exactly. Well, it's that weird thing of like, I want to do this, but I say I want to do this, and maybe I kind of want to do this, but I really don't want to do this.
I think I see what you're saying. Like, not so much that he wants to kill or be killed necessarily.
Yeah.
He wants the grandeur of the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he wants that glory, and he knows he's on his way out. So he's like, you know, one big push at the end and, you know, whatever it takes, I'll make his kids love me. I'll, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really deep. So I don't know if I'll check out Peter Pan and Scarlet. I'm afraid it'll be like 50 Shades of Grey with Peter Pan, but I may take a look.
I mean, it sounds kind of sad.
Sad. Like, I feel like I've read the original Peter Pan. I've read a lot of this stuff. Because I'm a nerd, and I was a librarian for, you know, several years. I've read a lot of crap. Peter Pan and Scarlet is one that never...
I didn't know that.
You didn't know?
I didn't know that. Yeah. Or maybe I forgot.
We were friends for, like, all
of
that
time. I worked at the drugstore place.
Rob's worn a lot of hats.
Yeah, I sure have. I worked at the drugstore place and library and... That other place.
The other ones.
That we don't necessarily talk about. And the place I work now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was working. Yeah. Story time with Rob invades the email episode.
Explains so much email.
So yeah, seriously. No, and I worked. So I worked at the library and I worked at the pharmacy. And I was using both of those to pay for school.
When I was going to school.
paying for that. But when I left the pharmacy, I stayed at the library, and then I went to the job at the mall.
Oh.
So I worked those two jobs, and then I left the library, and I stayed at the pharmacy, and then worked at the job I have now. And then eventually I had, or no, not the pharmacy. I left the pharmacy.
Yeah, the other place. Yeah.
And the library. Right. Yeah.
I got you.
Riveting.
Yeah. I know nobody cares.
I'm sure one person out there does.
Rich.
Like your mom's listening, so.
Yeah, sure. She cares. She's like, oh, I never knew that my son was so boring. Disowned.
Not even unsubscribed.
She's got a permanent marker. She's just crossing my name out of the will right now.
And but she's still listening to podcasts to hear Tony.
Yeah.
Well, she just goes like, la, 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 whenever you talk.
You know, I don't blame her. I know my wife does that. Not that my wife listens to our podcast. Come on,
no,
please.
She can't be bothered with
please.
That.
No. Whatever. Whatever.
She has to hear it enough while we're recording it.
Yeah. But here. But Rich, thank you so much for writing in.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. Food for thought, seriously.
When I bumbled on your name.
Like you certainly did your homework.
And oh yeah.
I appreciate it because I'm really lazy and I wouldn't want to have to research all that. So thank you for doing that work for us.
Yeah, that is great work.
And
much appreciated.
Hopefully now, like the rest of our viewers who will remain nameless will understand that we're not bashing the movie. There's a lot to be gleaned from it. But it is cheesy in a lot of ways, you know.
We're bashing parts of the
and
movie.
We all recommended it at the end. Yeah. Like we all recommended it. So yes. Yeah, you know, you have to take it for what it is. Yeah. I have found that nostalgia glasses are a lot stronger than beer goggles.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, the point is to, you know, review these movies with a bit of levity. So, like, no movie is perfect. And so, when it has weak points, we're going to pick on them. Right. Like, that's what we do.
Have you seen RoboCop?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
true.
Really.
Okay. Yeah. Few movies are perfect.
Predator.
Few movies are perfect.
Predator.
We already picked on Predator, so we can't really.
We did not pick on Predator. That was just. That was Love Muffins.
I'm mad I missed the Die Hard episode because that movie's amazing. Yeah,
well. Hopefully you'll be around for Die Hard 2.
Why?
I think you missed what he was saying.
You know what? Maybe we'll make it a Christmas tradition. We'll redo Die Hard every year.
Die Hard 2. It's all downhill from here.
Die Hard 2. It gets a little better in 3, but then...
We'll just make a tradition of doing Die Hard every Christmas. Because, you know, that's what the filmmakers did.
I watch it every Christmas.
Yeah, so. I mean, so you don't need to be on the episode. You know, it's all... Brian. Hey, Brian. So, what do you think about Die Hard?
It's awesome.
There you go. All right. Now you've had Brian's official review on Die Hard.
So wait for Die Hard, the special edition with Brian commentary.
Yeah. Die Harder at 4 a.m.
We'll just digitally add in Brian's comments and plus a singing scene from the bar.
Plus Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Fuck you.
And more vehicles.
And Sebulba.
And Sebulba.
What do we got next?
And Boba Fett swearing at a troll.
His hands.
And a wolf man.
It's great.
So yeah, next we have the contest winner for our Fat Chat mascot.
Yay! Our turtle pail full of garbage gets a name at long last.
You ready for it? I'm saying it.
You're in.
Is it music? Is it? Okay, yeah.
You all ready for this?
Oh, you beat me to it. All right, so like the winner of our Name Our Mascot contest is Joe. Joe A with the name Dabetus.
Dabetus.
Dabetus
and Dabetus.
Just be clear, that's not me.
That's
Joe A.
That's Joe.
Joe A. Dabetus.
Yeah. Dabetus.
So thanks, Joe
Dabetus
A.
Dabetus the turtle.
You know who you are. I hope you know who you are.
So what
we'd like you to do now is just either message us on Facebook or just send us an email with your mailing information and what postcard you'd like Tony to make for you from any of our previous episodes. It'll make you a sweet little mini poster, and we'll send that right out to you. So yeah, just send us your info.
Yes. Congrats again, Joe. Congrats.
Yes, congratulations. Thank you for writing in.
So many submissions that we just had. It was so hard
It was really.
Yeah. I also want to thank everyone for submitting. We really appreciate it. It was a lot to go through, but
our runner-up was
Joe
Hook
rose to the top
with Chud Butt.
Actually, on the back of it, can we just like put his fate, like draw it with a Sharpie and just write Chunba?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's yellow. It's cheese colored.
Do you still have that screenshot and just print out the cheese with Chunba?
We'll write Debetus the Chunba on the back. You got Debetus, Debetus testing materials. Get them diabetes testing strips.
Once again, though, thank you to Rich for emailing us in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. So thank you to everyone that took part in this contest, and thank you to anyone that wrote in this case, just Rich so far.
But Joe. So yeah, if you'd like your email to be read, and you know, if you got any information for us, you want to share whatever, write in the 4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook. We've got a Twitter account, 4ampodcast. You can tweet us, and if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, if you want to pay us to do a movie, we'll do whatever you want. You know, that's great.
And, we are whores.
We sure are.
Yeah, and anytime anyone out there wants to write in and tell us how correct our theories are, please do so. I enjoy it immensely.
And the opposite. I enjoy it too. Just well, prepared for the backlash, that's all.
Yes, certain other people that were upset with our Hook episode.
We love
maybe you. Well, yeah, but maybe this will, you know...
Shut you up.
Well, I was going to say it nicer, but, you know, shed some light on where we were coming at. Nothing some of these theories
love.
And
nothing
so on.
But love.
If you have opposite theories, write in with that.
So that's our first email
episode.
Inbox woo! Episode. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yay. And our contest winner. Woo.
Inbox.
We'll probably do more contests in the future. I don't know what about, but, you know. It'll
be in fun. Fact, anyone.
You could win a fudge round.
You could win a fudge round. We'll sign it.
We'll sign it. Yeah.
For our first on that, anyone that wants to.
A fudge round.
Anyway.
I licked all the cream.
Oh, God. Anyone that would like to submit a theme song for Storytime with Rob, please do so.
Oh yeah, definitely. That would be awesome.
What, me breaking wind wasn't good enough?
It's just not consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could do it on command, it would be the song.
Anyway, thank you guys so very much. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode, and we'll see you guys next time for the regular movie review. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Deuces.
Bye. Adios.